Welcome to A Public Affair here on KGNU. I'm Stacey Johnson. According to reports by the Outdoor Foundation, women and girls take part in outdoor recreation activities at significantly lower rates than their male counterparts. Time in the outdoors is even scarcer for those experiencing racial, socioeconomic, and other intersectional discriminations. To counter the scarcity of nature for underrepresented communities, Women's Wilderness, a Boulder-based nonprofit, provides outdoor experiences for girls, women, and LGBTQ+ individuals of all ages and backgrounds. Leading the organization in its 25th year is Executive Director Christy Peoples. Earlier this summer, I spoke with Christy about the work of Women's Wilderness and how the organization approaches its mission and vision. Christy, I realize this is perhaps difficult to do, but can you provide a quick rundown of what Women's Wilderness is about and the mission of the organization?
Yes, Stacey, I can. It won't be easy, but Women's Wilderness is a nonprofit organization that's committed to creating safe space for girls, women, and non-binary people of all ages, ethnicities, and backgrounds to find their place, their voice, and their power in the outdoors. And so we provide that by offering after-school programming for first-generation American youth, for refugee and asylee girls and non-binary folks. And we offer after-school rock climbing programs, all kinds of outings from backpacking, hiking, camping, to whitewater rafting, nature walks, all sorts of activities that engage women, girls, non-binary folks from age 8 to 88, more or less.
What are some of the challenges or hurdles in accomplishing the organization's mission?
So among our aspirational goals or vision is to really see an equitable, sustainable society, right? A place where every voice is welcome, every body is embraced. And that's more than a notion. And what that means as an organization is that we have a lot of work to do from where we are to get to that place, right? It's on the horizon, but it's also, you know, our North Star. And so in everything that we do, we make sure that we are understanding the needs of our communities, the needs of our team as well. So we're kind of in a challenge and an opportunity is that we do our own personal work to help us do the liberatory work for the communities that we serve. And that means, you know, anything from facing our maybe inherent bias or our resistance to change, or our capacity to kind of harness those growing pains and turn them into opportunities that will improve the experience of our participants. So it's one thing to say, we have this bright vision of having equity for everyone and welcoming everyone into these spaces where we see so many people are under, where we know so many people are underrepresented, right? That's a goal. That's the great beyond where we are right now. And what it means in the meantime is that we come up against a fair amount of hurdles in that process. Maybe there's entrenched thinking or beliefs that are ingrained maybe by the culture, maybe by the conditioning of our caretakers that say, oh, well, if you're queer, if you're not a size 2 and kind of well-to-do in the culture, then you don't really belong in the outdoors. Or if you're not bagging 14ers, as they say, or running ultra marathons, then why bother? So there's a dominant idea in the outdoor space that says you go big or you go home. You know, and a lot of people who might want to explore rock climbing or hiking or camping might say, well, I can't really climb a 14er. I don't want to climb a 14er. And so maybe it's not for me. When actually Women's Wilderness steps in to say, you know, it is for you. It's everybody's inherent right to have access to nature. And also we believe in challenge by choice. So it's not that you have to do all the excessive outdooring, you know, that we see in the media. Rather, you know, a nature walk, connecting with the natural spaces around us, connecting with the outdoors, connecting with the people that we journey and adventure with, is its own sense of, or brings with it its own sense of excitement, access, and belonging. And that's where we have been since the inception of this organization, meeting our clients, our participants, where they are, and taking them from there into uncharted territory of a sort, or into that wild unknown, you know, that could be an inner journey or an outer journey. And that's what Women's Wilderness is about. And those are the challenges that we understand that we're going to bump up against, because in order to grow, it means that you can't stay, you know, resting on the laurels of achievements or accomplishments of the past or the status quo. We can't just internalize the dominant culture idea while we say that we want to move beyond that and include everyone in nature, or make greater pathways for underrepresented people or marginalized groups, you know, to also take up space.
What I'm hearing is that you're expanding that welcome mat, creating that welcome mat. But as you reach out to that participant and perhaps grab their hand, is that participant kind of going through some inherent reluctance in of themselves, kind of for the reasons you talked about? But how do you encourage them to take that first step?
You know, as I said, it's one thing to talk about having a grand vision, but it's quite another to embody it, and to embody it in such a way that presents in itself an invitation to those people who might feel some reluctance, right? So in our messaging, in our marketing, in the way that we lead and think about and facilitate our courses and our activities, we must always bear that in mind, that everybody is carrying some kind of internalization of ideas about who gets to be outside, or their capacity to try something new. You know, we find as adults, it can be challenging just to step outside of the comfort zone, even if you do feel like, okay, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to have this nature experience or whatever. And then you get into the backcountry and, you know, the wheels start to rattle a little bit. And, you know, the same holds true for somebody who hasn't been out before, but also is, you know, willing to take a step. There are challenges, great and small, you know, pretty much up and down the line. And there's always an invitation, you know. So I'll give you an example that I love sharing. So anybody who's heard me, you know, talk about Women's Wilderness, they've probably heard me wedge this story in some way or another. We were on a backpacking trip, and this was for a group of adult women, and it was for women of color. And one of the women was about to be a grandmother. And she said that she wanted to really be a courageous Nana. And she said, you know, I want to be someone who can take my grandson out for camping trips and hiking trips and do backpacking together. But I have always been nervous about sleeping outside. And I knew that I had to come on this trip and conquer my fears so that I can bring that courage and courageousness back to my family, back to my grandson, so that I can instill in him a love of the outdoors. So she was coming into an experience with Women's Wilderness, knowing that she had a blocker or a fear of the outdoors. And she was willing to challenge her own limitation because she felt safe enough to show up, to rally her courage, and to extend beyond what she knew. And now, I attribute that not only to her own bravery and courage that she already possessed, but also to our instructors, who are highly skilled and very much aware of the fears that our participants have, or are very much aware that it's possible that people will bump up against some kind of an edge when they're in the backcountry, or when they're in nature, or when they're doing something that is unfamiliar to them. So we have a certain expectation that there will be challenge. And again, it's challenge by choice. Don't go farther than you know you feel comfortable going, and also be willing to lean out of your comfort zone. We've seen it too, like countless times in our rock climbing courses, whether it's in a gym or outside. You know, people will have maybe a fear of heights, and it's simply enough for them to get into the harness and get their feet off of the ground. And that's enough. And it's a beautiful thing, because while most people might not think of that as adventure or a worthwhile outdoor experience, it was tremendous for that participant because she felt safe enough to not only come out and let somebody who she didn't know put her into a harness and set her up against a rock wall, and to literally have her life in somebody else's hands, and that person being the belayer. You know, that there were so many barriers that she was busting through in that effort that looked to maybe an experienced eye like a small thing, but it was a huge victory to her. And so our instructors know this. They understand that everybody is at a different place in their journey and their sense of adventure. And they know that our participants get to define what adventure means to them. And that's huge. It's something that I, as executive director, am extremely proud of, because most of our participants will never see me or hear me talking about the many virtues and wonders and magic that make Women's Wilderness what it is. But by extension, the instructors understand this, and they embody that mission, and they extend it to everyone that we go out with. It's a wonderful series of connections that enables us to do what we do and to provide these really breakthrough, kind of life-affirming experiences for people against the backdrop of nature.
If you are just tuning in, this is a public affair on KGNU. I'm Stacy Johnson. On today's segment, we are visiting with Christy Peoples, Executive Director of Women's Wilderness, discussing how the organization provides opportunities for girls, women, and LGBTQ+ people to access and experience the outdoors.
Are there any programs offered at free or reduced cost?
Most of our programming is offered at free or reduced costs. Our after-school programs for the refugee and asylee youth that I mentioned, those are free grant-funded programs. We have programs for BIPOC adults that is also grant-funded and very affordable or accessible. And we also offer scholarships. We have offered scholarships since the inception of Women's Wilderness, because that's another one of our pillars, is to remove as many barriers as we can to entry or to participation. And so whether that's financial, and it can be resolved by way of scholarships or donations that people send in, it works that way. Also, if people don't have gear, we have a gear library that has grown over the years, thanks to contributions from our donors, from our corporate sponsors and friends, partners who see the value in what we do. We also, you know, in many instances of meeting people where they are, we have transportation that helps people get to and from our outings, so folks don't have to drive several hours out to, you know, backpacking and camping sites. So there's a lot. We also have a food and logistics support that provide meals and ensure that, you know, our gear is in great condition and that our vans are running smoothly. We got a lean, mean team.
What is the history of Women's Wilderness?
So 25 years ago, the founder, Laura Tyson, along with some of her fellow outdoor enthusiasts and guides, came up with a wonderful idea to simply get women and girls out into nature, because there was a belief that, you know, women and girls could live as change agents in their own lives, in their communities, and in the world. And that could be facilitated through experiences in nature. So among the first courses were some backpacking trips for veterans. And it served as a great way to help with not just a sort of re-entry to civilian life, but also to a sort of re-entry to self. Laura Tyson and those other early visionaries saw the deep connection of healing and exposure to nature. And we know now even more that nature activity helps to lower the blood pressure, helps regulate the nervous system, helps lift some symptoms of depression. There's so much benefit from being in nature. That those were like seemingly very simple guiding principles that infused or informed that early programming. And it's still very much the same mission and vision that we operate on today. We have the addition of, you know, not just women and girls, but non-binary, transgender, LGBTQIA+ people into that space as well. Because once again, everybody has the inherent right to take up space in nature. That's what we believe. That's what we work toward, not just for the communities that we serve, but also for ourselves as well.
Are there any upcoming events planned as Women's Wilderness celebrates its 25th anniversary?
Yes, well, in August, we have our annual summer retreat, which is called Summit Sisters, and it is for adult women 18 and up. And it is going to be held in Allen's Park. It's August 11th through the 13th. And we are going to have an array of esteemed speakers and teachers and wilderness guides offering workshops from building survival structures to having Tai Chi courses on the lawns and facilitated workshops around communicating with skill and compassion as we navigate in challenging times. And so one of the things that we're really proud of about that retreat is that this year we really took a lot of learning from previous years and what's going on in the culture and understanding that being human is messy. And in an effort to create the kind of equitable and just society and community that we want to live in, it also means that we won't do so without a fair amount of challenge and blowback, right? And so this year, Summit Sisters is really taking the cue from that learning. And our theme is being human together. And all of the courses, the instruction, the workshops are centered around how we can really move through our challenges with grace, with a fair amount of presence and compassion. And even though it might not seem like that's a theme when you come to the workshop and you're doing this lovely Tai Chi on the lawn, the thing is that it's infused with the understanding that this practice of movement is a way to ground and a way to be centered and kind of return to the self and reflect on what it means to be human and to move with intention rather than reaction. You know, building a survival structure is not just about, you know, some kind of like hype media that we might see on some of the reality TV shows, but it's a way to build community in the process and really have a hand in one's not just survival, but capacity to thrive, you know, in challenging times. And so it's also part of the mission that I mentioned before, is empowering us to take up space, to grow together, and to also do hard things. You know, we can, a lot of times we hear about, you know, not wanting to be uncomfortable, not wanting to say or do the wrong thing. But that's part of growth. That's how we find our edges. That's how we move beyond our comfort zone. That's how we learn. So Summit Sisters and everything that we do is infused with that knowledge that it is not without some measure of effort and intention that we are able to grow. And by doing so, we get to create that kind of world that we want to live in. And that puts us one step closer to that goal of creating the equitable and just society.
Chrissy Peoples, thank you for your time today and sharing information about Women's Wilderness.
For more on today's interview with Chrissy Peoples and the work of Women's Wilderness, please visit the KGNU website at news.kgnu.org. This is Stacey Johnson for A Public Affair.